Going on, everybody. Welcome to the Faith Tech Podcast. This is a podcast where we're talking about the intersection of technology, theology, culture. Man, it's been awesome. My name's James. I get to be a part of this awesome global tech community for Christ we call Faith Tech. And I've been hanging out with John Dyer. We've been talking, man, how do we understand how to live in this digital exodus, this digital Babylon moment where technology is seemingly not delivering on its promise of utopia. And the only way we can really figure out how to live is by going to the scriptures and diving deep. We've spent this last four episodes just going really deep into what does the word teach us about who God is, who we are, how to understand technology, and how to live in this world. And really, that's what we want to now just focus this last episode on, is answering this question: how do we live now, really, as a countercultural people in this digital exodus, this moment in time when, as a culture, we're really trying to figure out, as technology is progressing, yet we're all feeling this disconnect, this displacement. What role now do we as individuals and as communities live? What role do we take in as followers of Jesus in this digital world? And so we're going to take some time to unpack that together. To our final episode, our final moment to just kind of pull all of this together and even look ahead and look practically on, okay, we've been telling this story, this big meta narrative of we're seeing in culture this digital saturated time. We're trying to figure out how to live in this, but we're also trying to look at scripture and understand the narrative of it. And it comes back to this really fundamental core question for me is, you know, how do we live as a countercultural people? How do we just live as followers of Jesus in this moment, this digital moment we find ourselves in? And the first thing that just struck me was, there's this phrase, technology is the unspoken religion of the secular world. And, there's these terms that come with it, like technicism. And I'd just love to know, like, how do you unpack some of this in terms of how we're seeing this played out right now?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think we, started out with the idea that we're all storytellers, and that even with technology, the commercials that we watch on TV or that we get online, they're always telling us to imagine what could we do with a cool new tool? What could we do with this futuristic thing that we might get? And so we're naturally geared that way. And we walk through the biblical story and we see the direction God is taking us and what our salvation is and what our hope is. But there definitely has emerged an alternative sort of religious story that is based on technology. And so if we think about the way the biblical story tells us who we are, it tells us that our value and our worth is that we bear God's image and that we have a divine origin, that God made us with a purpose. But if we look at sort of the alternative story, is that we really don't have a purpose, that we're just the product of chance, and that we're just a speck on a timeline moving along. And, when we think deeply about what the scriptures tell us about what are the problems in the world, why is there evil, we would say that there's sin in the world and that that's really the deepest problem that we have. It's not a technological one, but it's ultimately in the human heart. But then I think that the problem that we see usually portrayed in the technological world is a problem of physicality, that we need to get rid of these bodies that are going to break, that the real rate limiting step is that we're going to die, right? And so for us, the hope is in Jesus. Yes. And the alternate hope is this hope that technology will one day liberate us from this body. So when we look forward, we think, man, the next thing on the timeline is not an election. It's not a football game. It's not a soccer game. It's not any of those things. Our great hope is Jesus' return, and we live in light of that day. But really, these days, in some ways, the next big hope on the timeline is the singularity, right? Where technology gets good enough that we finally can do all that we've been wanting to do. And whether that's the singularity or some other event, that's really the hope, is one day this tool is going to get there. One day Apple will finally put the right ports on the device, right? But in a bigger sense, you and I, we long for resurrection, right? Every time we see someone die, that's what we long for, is to be united with them again. But the longing in the technological world would be one of transcendence, right? Mm. That we could get rid of these bodies. And so it's very similar. There's a hope, there's an endpoint, there's a timeline, all these things. It's just there's an alternative version.
There's prophets and preachers.
There's prophets and preachers. Yeah, there's a message. There's a thing at the end.
There's an eschatology. Yeah, that's right.
Eschatology, we're all trying to get to this particular thing and transcend what seems like a problem. It's just how we're going to get there is different. Now, I think if you were to go ask your friend who works at Netflix or Apple or Tesla or something like that, is this the religion you aspire to? Nobody would say that. I mean, there's a few futurists that really put it in these terms that would say we want to transcend. There is the transhumanist or posthumanist movement that would really say our goal is to use technology not just to make humanity better, but to totally leave humanity behind. Mm. So we could talk about the difference between transhumanism and posthumanism and all those things. There are some of those, but I think really that all of us live in this story sometimes, that sometimes we live into the story of God and sometimes we live in the story of ourselves. Mm. Sometimes we live in the story of the hope that God brings and that we get to participate with him in. And sometimes we live into this alternative story that we can bring ourselves up by our own bootstraps, by our own tools. And this is, I think, what we want to learn how to do is to look at technology today and say, what is it capable of? What can it do? What neat things can we do with it? Both for good and for evil, but then also think, what are some of the more subtle value systems embedded in it that sometimes our flesh is going to attach to in a way that's going to distort its purpose and get us in the wrong story?
Yeah, and I've been thinking about this actually, and imagine like three circles, and there's one big circle, there's another circle inside it, and another circle inside of that, and at the core circle is the belief systems of tech. And I think this is what we're really getting at with this idea of its belief system is that the more technology we have, or if we have a problem, the way to solve that problem is with technology. And I know we can take that to a really deep level if there's a hurt in our heart, or we're feeling alone, or feeling isolated, or we're feeling suffering, go to technology to alleviate that pain or suffering. And so I think the belief systems of tech are influencing in a really powerful way, I think, the world, because the next circle to me is the methods of tech, so how we're actually building technology. And then the last one is the tools of tech and the way we're creating and the things we're actually using, right? And so for us, like I know within our faith tech world, we're trying to really think deeply on how does the gospel message and the gospel narrative come alongside each of these three phases? Because I love how Jesus says in Matthew, he's like, you heard that it was said this, but I say this. There's a Jesus-centered, gospel-centered way of living in this world. And I think that trying to deeply understand the belief and value systems of our technology, the tech industry, the way we're building technology and the tools themselves are a step towards us then also understanding the gospel and whether that coincides or if it comes against the way that we're interacting with technology. And so I think that, like, for you, how are you even, thinking about this in terms of some of the new emerging technology? Because I think those can be really good examples to give a way of thinking about this, because right now I just hear about metaverse all the time. I'm hearing about VR all the time. Like, what's a way that we can even start trying to understand and dissect, these emerging future technologies that are now here?
Yeah. I think all of those, the AI and Web3 and blockchain and cryptocurrency, all those ones are, they just offer us a great example of, I think what our role is to sit down together in community like we're doing now to think about the technology and go, what are some really redemptive good things that we can do? To also anticipate what are some of the negative things that we can do. So we want to lay those two things out there, but we don't want to stop there, right? Because we could just say, hey, let's use it for good and not for evil and say that's the end of the conversation. I think the next layer for us is to think about what are the embedded value systems in that technology. some of which might be great and some of which might not be so great. But then also to, again, interrogate our own hearts and say, how is it that we might be latching on to those things in a way that are negative for us? And then what might be happening societally? So we're going to talk somewhat about our role as individuals and the patterns of life that we have for us, maybe our family and immediate community. And what's our role as a citizen in the world? And how do we seek the welfare of the city in the words that Jeremiah talks about? So if we take, we could take the blockchain example. I almost think that one's easier.
Yeah, that's a good one. And I just want to point out what I think is really interesting is if we go back in a previous episode, we talked about there's that exploitative technology, there's that responsible technology, and then there's the redemptive technology. I think the work that you're doing right now is in this redemptive sphere because we've gone from like good and bad, which is like exploitative or ethical, to now like the depths of really understanding the value systems of these things so that we can reflect on the redemptive element of the gospel in order to inform us on how we use the tool, on how the tool is being made as a method, and then the belief set, value set that sits within it.
Yeah, and I think we can't do a full, you know, blockchain or Web3 or whatever explainer. But
next time.
If we were just to say, you know, what is this technology at its most basic level, right? It's kind of operating like a database, but it's one that's meant that once you have a bunch of little pieces of information, they become blocks and they go into a blockchain and you can't change it once it goes. So it's this unchangeable set of data, and then it's also distributed across a bunch of computers, right? So that if you change one of them, all the other ones will tell you that you're wrong.
Okay.
So you can see in that already, you can see in it that it values decentralization, right? And then it values a sequence of transactions. So that's why naturally, if it values a sequence of transactions, that's why it's being used for currency, you know? And so we could explore, man, well, how does currency work? And what are our own systems? And what kind of governments are needed or not needed? And so with currency, we're literally taking a piece of paper or a round piece of metal and we're imbuing it with value. This is what we've been talking about the whole time with technology, that we imbue with value and it has value, right? So with that technology, we can think of all kinds of really cool things that we could do with it. You hear these, you know, prophets kind of saying that this will democratize money and this will save the poor and this will free us from governments and all that kind of stuff.
Going back to that, remember the narrative of like war will be impossible with this new technology.
Yeah. And yet, you know, on the other hand, we know that we're pretty greedy people, you know, that we want things for ourselves.
That's just you, John.
Yeah, just me.
I'm not greedy at all.
I'm going to go check where my Bitcoin is today. But yeah, I think there's, and by the way, I sure wish I wouldn't have abandoned my Bitcoin mining.
Come on. Did you go early on that?
Yeah, I was like, oh, this will be cool. And I thought, nah, and I just left it. You know, you just look back and think, man, I wish I would have kept that going. But I think, you know, right
God
now.
God had a bigger story in mind, John.
Yeah, exactly.
Bigger redemptive story for you.
Yeah, I sure hope so. So as long as we can pay for college, we'll be good. That's right. But these anxieties of ourselves of saying, I'm afraid I won't be able to do something, then we start, you know, speculating on money and speculating on the different currencies. And you see them fluctuate all over the place. And as we're speaking right now, we're in this tragic situation where Russia is invading Ukraine. And we think about even them being able to use that when the world's monetary system is shut down, they're able to possibly operate in that level. So there's these really, really dark levels that this technology could be used. So I think we can easily kind of see some pros and cons, but at the same time, we can see that there's a embedded value system in it. And then there's our own kind of fleshly value systems. And those are going to often kind of corrupt one another and be at odds with one another. And so we're trying to think, could we build something on top of a blockchain that does allow a certain level of protection and anonymity for some people without turning wildly speculative? How could we come alongside more disadvantaged people who aren't going to naturally be able to open up a digital wallet? I mean, it's so hard to do that, right? Yeah. Unless you have a certain level of means and wealth. How could we use that as kind of the next version of banks or something like that we can say, man, when people start being able to save money, that pulls them out of poverty like nothing else. Is it possible this technology could do that while being aware of that embedded value system underneath it that could give us a false sense of hope? So I think that's just an easy example with blockchain of doing that, what we've been talking about doing.
And then how, even thinking about metaverse now too, right? Because I know several months ago, Facebook changes its name to Meta, and it changes the narrative rapidly, where everyone's now trying to figure out, what do I do with metaverse? Yeah. Should I be investing in this? Should I be engaged in this? How do I even understand it? What is it? And then what is a redemptive way of viewing the metaverse?
Yeah, but I think we can think of all kinds of neat things you could do with the technology and how immersive it is, that you could tell great biblical stories in there. You know, I remember going to D.G. Soto's VR church one day when he was teaching on Paul and his journeys, and he had built D.G. Soto's church had built this whole set with a ship, and it was just so immersive and such a neat way to learn, you know? And so that can be really fantastic. I remember after the service seeing that, you know, when you do Zoom church or Facebook church, you know, it's really hard to form small groups afterward. And within a VR space, it's so easy to sort of feel that spatial sense and go over and have a conversation with somebody. And I remember listening to a disabled woman in the in North Dakota talk to a woman over somewhere in Europe who was out just seeking her out, and they were getting to know one another. And so that was really lovely to see. So we have this very missional way of speaking. We can think about how people were able to overcome a lot of fears in therapy because VR is so immersive that it allows you to do that. And yet that same vulnerability is the kind of thing that means that women are less likely right now to try VR because you can have such a sense of body violation that in the last few weeks, Facebook added to their system a little body bubble kind of thing so that people can't come too close to you and move their hands at you in gestures that feel really scary. So there is a reality there that it can both be healing or very disruptive and very, very very dark. And then I think this brings us to this question of embodiment. You know, we sometimes it's very, very easy to say, well, this isn't an embodied thing. Well, right now, James, you and I have bodies, right? Even though we're using microphones, and even though our friends who may be listening to this, we're not physically proximate with our listeners, but they have bodies and they're embodied in a particular posture. So I think what that allows us to do is to think about the kinds of embodiment that we have rather than to think about it as disembodied. I know what we mean by disembodied, but we're never actually really disembodied. We're just in different postures. And so a person with a VR headset, for example, is incredibly vulnerable to the outside world. This is why someone can go on a subway and be on their phone for 8 hours, but no one's ever going to put a VR headset on in a subway. Now, they might eventually with AR do that same kinds of thing. So I think this helps us to say, what kind of embodiment do we value? What kind of embodiment really gives us a sense of flourishing? And when do I need a physically proximate embodiment like we're having right now in this conversation? And what is the value of that, of those things?
Wow. Yeah. And I would say, like, I know I had mentioned this before we started recording earlier, was just over these 2 years, I've gone on this journey of really trying to understand a theology of embodiment, which I think is a really big piece to this whole conversation of technology, particularly because a lot of the people I talk to that are more on the Luddite side against technology, don't understand what we're trying to accomplish with building and creating and innovating with technology to advance the good name of Jesus in some way, really will say, you know, it's taking us away from embodiment, and the way of Jesus is wanting us to be embodied. But then I think on the other hand, we can lean into technology so much so that we use it as that crutch or that defense against the sacrificial, difficult, uncomfortable, committed things that define community. Like an honest, true community has all of those things intertwined into it. And so I think that's just, honestly, that's part of some of my struggles with VR is some of that disconnection from that embodiment, though I know it's a medium that's can be really powerful. I know stories of people that are leveraging VR right now to train pastors in closed countries that otherwise would have very difficult time getting particular training, and they're able to use that technology in a way to help, you know, train pastors to do the work that they need to do. Like, that's some really beautiful tools. But and I think that's where some of this balance for me is, I'm trying to work this out right now of, like, even as Faith Tech, where we really encourage people into in-person gathering, be with each other, you know, commit to each other, sacrifice for each other in person. But we're innovating when we're getting together with technology to allow people to know Jesus more deeply and serve the poor and help out the poor. And so I think I'm just in this honest place of my theology of embodiment is going deeper. Mm-hmm. But I also don't want to be this person that says, well, then don't innovate with technology because all it's doing is taking us away from embodiment.
Well, I think I'll throw out a kind of a provocative phrase. And then I think of technology as being the bridge between the local church and the universal church. And so what I mean by that is that all the things that we describe about VR could also sort of be applied to, say, the written word. That, you know, when John and Paul and them are thinking about when they should write and when they should be in person, that they find that there's a use and a purpose for each of those two things. So we want to have an appropriate use and purpose. But I think the same thing with VR or other forms of church, that there may be really important cases for those who are stuck at home because of various diseases or disabilities. What I don't think we want to do is have technology be a bridge to itself, right? But if technology is what allowed you and I to be together today through airplanes and Zoom and email and text and microphones, all those things, it's enabling the table for us. But it doesn't replace that table for us. It's the connection between local churches that forms the universal church, but it's not an end to itself. And I think the risk for us is when technology becomes an end to itself, when it becomes the goal rather than becoming one of the tools that we use for that table part. And so in our usage of it, we can sometimes become so enamored by it that we take on its value system. And I think that's, again, one of the risks, that why we want to interrogate that value system. But at the same time, I think that we don't want to run from it altogether, but we want to understand it better. And I think this understanding is going to happen both at our individual level, the types of choices we make in our own lives, and also the kinds of things that we do at our church community level, and then finally outward as citizens and as people who are trying to participate in the world. But at each of those levels, we want to think about, what is the appropriate use of technology? How am I embedding the values of the kingdom of God, and not necessarily always the countervailing values that are built into our flesh and sometimes into technology.
And I know for me, I'm trying to focus right now on, once I'm, there's a few parallels that go on the same line for me. And there's one parallel that's like thinking more deeply, like we've been doing today, which has been amazing, around going, okay, how do we think more deeply on the belief and value sets of the technology, the tech industry, the tools and the methods to which these things are being built, that we can think more deeply on them? Well, as I'm learning things from that work of thinking, I'm trying to apply those in a practical way around like boundaries of technology in my house. To like, where do I put screens? To when do I introduce screens? And the things God's been teaching me with all this technology, I'm definitely going more towards like less technology. I close it down at night and all of these really beautiful things. But within that healthy boundary, once I feel like technology's in its proper place in my home, in my life, in my rhythms, I think simultaneously I'm starting to see the incredible opportunity that exists to innovate within it and to leverage within it. And we've seen that all throughout scripture when God's like, no, I'm not going to knock this away. Actually, we're going to use that technology, and I'm going to call you to create with that technology in order to advance this redemptive story that I have in mind.
Yeah. I think we get to participate with God in bringing, you know, order into chaos of there having purpose, but of also taking rest in Sabbath.
Beautiful. Thank you, for this time. I think it's been awesome to just take these moments along, these different episodes, we've called them, and just dive deeper into God's word of technology. And my hope is that if you're listening to this, you've made it this far all the way through, you've listened to all of these episodes, our hope and prayer for you is that this has deepened your understanding of technology, but even more than that, deepened your relationship and understanding of who God is and how God relates with you. And just know that, man, we love you, and that, God is going to be with you through this journey. So thanks, John. It's been awesome.
Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for listening, guys. We're a brand new podcast, so if you know someone that you think would be intrigued by this conversation. If you could share with them, that would be amazing. Also, you can rate this show on whatever podcast platform you're on. And lastly, if you want to continue this conversation with others, join a Faith Tech community. Just go to faithtech.com. There's people now all around the world that are thinking more deeply, putting their amazing, unique skills to work for God's glory. I hope to see you in one of those cities. Grace and peace.